Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, well, Nick and Joel as we get into the final 60 minutes. Interesting stuff coming out on the Kobe Bryant helicopter accident, as ESPN is now reporting that there was no engine failure in the helicopter crash, and that the wreckage from the helicopter that crashed last month and killed Kobe and his daughter, as well as seven others, did not show any outward evidence of engine failure, which leads you to believe one of two things happened. Either the pilot said, I've been there, done that so many times, all I got to do is get to this elevation or make this thing do this, we got this. Or Kobe was always a stickler about obviously no excuses and everything else, and I could see, and I'm only just hypothetically throwing this out there, but you could also see him going, we're not missing this tournament.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people there. This is a big deal for my daughter. Let's go. We'll find a way to make this thing work. One way or another, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I would hate to speculate on that.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying, if it's not outward engine failure, then something's up, and the first two things people are going to say is, you know, who did what to try and push it and go when obviously the sheriff's department and LAPD's helicopters were all grounded and they said, we're not doing this. No one's going up in this kind of conditions.
Yeah. And the other part of the not having the appropriate equipment that's required.
Yeah, they were trying to navigate, use an iPad or something.
To navigate in a situation like that. It's unfortunate. I guess that eliminates one thing. I'm sure at some point they'll release a final verdict of what they believe to have happened.
I will say there's a bunch of people on YouTube and podcasts that I've seen and listened to. Mm-hmm. And they're all like pilots who've been in aviation for like four decades. And some people believe or at least speculate that it's a pilot error, because one of the things that they brought up would be an issue in aviation with instrumentation and the fact that some pilots are not very well versed in, like, it's you don't necessarily have to know the ins and outs of instrumentation to be a pilot. And that's been a problem in helicopter crashes specifically. And I saw a couple of YouTube podcasts, video podcasts with people who have been in the industry for years saying it could potentially be a pilot error. But I'm sure, just like Barry said, there's going to be some sort of final report.
Yeah, but they said that could take up to a year to 2 years, right, to determine. And the pilot of this helicopter, Era Zubayan, was the chief pilot for Island Express helicopters. He had more than 8,200 hours of flight time, additionally certified to fly solely using instruments when obviously visibility was impossible. He was certified to fly with just the instruments, a more difficult rating to attain that allows pilots to fly at night and through clouds, etc. He was a pilot to celebrities including Kobe, Kawhi Leonard, and Kylie Jenner.
The fascinating thing about flying with instruments, and I mentioned this when we talked about Kobe, but I found that to be interesting, and I'm sure there are people listening that weren't listening at the time, so I think it bears repeating. When you hear them saying flying by instruments, somebody said that's the equivalent of being in your car and being unable to see, as if someone painted the car window completely over where you can't see out. So you're literally driving with your GPS and your speedometer, and that's it. And that's the equivalent of, so if it's foggy out and you're like, I'm going to try to get from here to Conroe using nothing but GPS and the instruments on my dashboard, that's scary. I mean, at some point, you're probably going to wreck. Even the best drivers, the potential is there. So it's when you think of it in those terms, yeah, you could see where an accident would occur.
I've also seen a lot of those animations of how the helicopter would look like how that crash would look like, and they would do like this animated video. Just scary if any of those are accurate. So scary.
Yeah. Well, just when you think about the pure velocity when it did whatever happened, but the pure velocity of how quickly it went down, you don't have time to react to anything at that point. I mean, I don't know how, you know, we talk about when planes and pilots that are way, way up there drop 5-10,000 feet in a matter of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not really that high up as an airplane yet. You're in a helicopter and you're dropping at, what'd they say, something like 147 or 180 miles an hour?
Yeah, I believe
on
it was
the way down. That's just,
I don't know, but
brutal.
It was, yeah.
So, we'll see when the truth actually comes out. I do think one of the neat things that just kind of just happened, but the outward memorial for the public for Kobe and Gianna is going to be on 224, February 24th, 2 being Gianna's number, 24 being Kobe's.
Very cool.
Very cool that they're doing that. They're doing it at Staples Center. They're saying that, obviously, it's only a really, really monumental event when in terms of, especially if a funeral happens in such a big venue, especially the Staples Center. Michael Jackson and Kobe and the rapper that died last year, L.A. rapper that Harden and Westbrook.
Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
All had their funerals now
at the Staples Center.
We'll have their funerals at the Staples
Center. Somebody texted the show and said, hey, fellas, would y'all be willing to do a road show and broadcast a show from the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo Barbecue Cook-Off? We have a tent and think it would be cool. Let me know what you think. Thanks. So you'll have to contact the sales team. We don't just show up and do remotes. You have to go through the sales team to do that. So if you want, text us back and let me know email, and I'll take the number that you have and your email and pass it to the sales team, and they can get you set up because we do road shows. They're just not free. So
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the cook-off.
Nick just doesn't bring like a board and a mic, and we just set us up and we just broadcast. It's a lot of production that is involved in cost and everything else. So
think about that, though.
Let us know. I mean, we're happy to do it.
Cook-off, country music theme, alcohol.
God, don't wear sweatpants that day. The chub Nick would have would
alcohol
be unbelievable.
And lots of
believable. Yeah, and big women.
I'll eat everything, but
you'd have alcohol, country music,
I'll consume
meat,
all your
and big
food.
Women. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
we'll definitely join.
Yeah. He will be two-stepping.
I mean, I like half of that stuff, just not all of
it. One-stepping. We got to go. The break.
Lame.
Usual. Hey, you kissed my ESPN 97.5.
Yes.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking time to go wherever you may be in the big city on this FEF Friday as we progress. We take it till 4. Blitz will take it till 7. All you got to do is keep it here on ESPN 97.5. But if you missed any of the show, we always tell you, ESPN975.com. Click on the tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. The menu will drop down. You can catch up on the hours you missed today. But then while you're on the front page, follow the instructions, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, listen to the shows all over, anywhere, everywhere, and every show on ESPN 97.5.
Do it!
There you go.
Tonight,
5 p.m., MLB Network, Tom Verducci one-on-one with A.J. Hinch, his first interview.
Can't wait for him to not spill the beans and just be a total professional and disappoint everybody.
Well,
how about that?
The thing is, too, is obviously they do a media junket where they start releasing small clips and tidbits of the actual overall interview to entice you to want to go watch it and check it out. And obviously everybody in Houston is probably going to watch it. And
they're probably going to give you the most controversial tidbit or one close
no,
to it.
No, because...
Well, that's the whole R. Kelly interview. We got the one...
But I'm just saying, if that was the case, I think there would be a lot more to the following quote. Here's Hinch talking about if the 2017 World Series is indeed tainted.
It's a fair question, and people are going to have to draw their own conclusions. Unfortunately, we opened that door as a group, and that question I may never be answered. We may never know, and we're going to have to live and move forward and be better in the sport. But Unfortunately, no one can really answer that question. I can't pinpoint what advantages or what happened or what exactly would have happened otherwise. But we did it to ourselves.
Now, wait a minute.
That is complete. Everything I expected this whole interview to be was in a nutshell right there.
But it's false.
Nope.
But it is false. But
that's how I expected this whole interview to go.
There is a way that you can verify if it did have an impact.
How?
If you can get the guys, if Bregman's hit in game five, if Bregman's able to say, I knew it was coming and it was and I hit it, it's never going to happen. But you can.
Okay, so are you going to get them the times they ground out, like in the John Boy example? When what was his name?
Barry, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm saying, you're saying never. Never say never. Just the way no one ever thought that anybody like Mike Fiers would come out after the fact and do something like this.
I'm going to say
you
never.
You don't expect that any of the players involved are ever going to come out and say anything.
But I'm going to say there's no way to quantify it, because here's why. It, just from a pure numbers and statistics perspective, right? Let's assume that you did say, okay, he knew about it. As good as these guys were, there's still chances that they connect on that ball regardless, that he hits it over the fence or he gets a base hit or whatever regardless.
Runners or he hits it on driven. The screws and hits it right at somebody.
Right, but I'm saying, but again, you don't know that.
Right.
So how many times did he hit a home run and he didn't know it was coming or get an RBI or a game-winning hit? It happens. So that's, I think, what A.J. Hinch is saying. Yeah, you could go back and say, oh, we cheated on this at bat, we cheated in this game, we cheated in that. But you can't quantify what would happen if they didn't cheat, because they still get on base 30% of the time and they still score runs and hit home runs. So but that's what I think he's saying. But the way that he handled that is exactly how I thought this would go.
Here's the other one that came out today.
Did you agree that he sounded professional and a bit remorseful and like a guy that's trying to get a job in a year?
No question. I think what he's trying to do right now is damage control on his image.
And not come out and say, I didn't have nothing to do with it. He's not saying it was all the players and not me. To me, that's what I was listening for. It was we the whole time. It wasn't them. It was we and us. He included himself in it, and it's the smartest thing he could do if he wants to work again as a manager in baseball.
So that takes us to this one, where we know that whether it initially was done with technology or otherwise, the banging of the garbage can became front and center for the signal. He was asked on the record by Verducci if he heard the banging on the garbage can while managing the team.
Yeah, no, I heard it. I heard it. I don't think you process it right away. It's like you hear a lot of things, but I heard it.
So at some point, though, you begin to process what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And you said, obviously, you know it was wrong. The question is, why don't you step in at that point and say, guys, knock it off?
I wish I would have. I really do. I think that's a big question that I'm going to process over what's now a season-long suspension. I think it's something that I've continued to think about, certainly through the investigation and when you have to openly talk about it. I wish I would have done more. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and we were wrong.
That sounds like he was owning up himself.
I agree. And again, this is exactly what you do if you're trying to get another job. This is exactly how I thought he would handle it, because as we talked about, he seems like such a stand-up dude, mm-hmm. like such a nice guy. I think any of us in that position probably would have been like, boys will be boys. Look, there's so much cheating going on from both sides. What's one other way of cheating? Not realizing that it could be a bigger issue. And yeah, I know he knows about the email and all that, but yeah, there's also rules where you're not supposed to cheat and they do it. And there's rules about pine tar, how far up the bat it can be. And guys break that all the time. So in my mind, and that would be a plausible defense for me, is look, it was just another way that everybody cheats in the game. So I didn't think to put a stop to it.
I see it that way, but I can also see it from the standpoint of, look, I know what's going on. Right? But I love the fact that I have the respect of my entire locker room. So if I am the guy that craps all over this thing and tells everybody we're not doing it anymore, I run the risk of running out of favor real quick with a team that I could take for a long time doing a lot of big things. So you don't want to be that guy. And so it's a fine line. Do you? Because if you put an end to it, then the locker room could be pissed at you. But if you don't, then you face exactly what you're facing right now. And then, I don't know, do you weigh which could be? I don't think at the time he's thinking this is going to get out at some point and be this big scandal or otherwise.
Agree with that. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he thinks it becomes what it has become.
But right.
I don't think anyone thought that.
But he did indicate his disapproval by breaking the monitor, mm-hmm. right? I mean, but they continue to do it anyway. I mean, in that he didn't in that when he answered that question, and obviously we still have to see the full interview. He didn't say I at least tried to stop. I at least broke the monitor. He didn't make an excuse for himself. He just said, you know what? I wish I said no and I didn't.
And it's smart because that's exactly he is. I mean, it's almost like a PR person got him and coached him for the last month on how to handle this interview, because it is literally the smartest way to handle that. Because if you do that even remotely, well, I mean, I did go in, and people are going to be like, ah, see, he's trying to, he's making excuses. And he didn't do that. That's why I said the we's and the us's, and I wish I would have stopped it and this and that. He's handling this the right way, whether it's going to be beneficial or not at the end.
And this is the Andy Pettit way as opposed to the Roger Clemens
way. Exactly way to handle this. Yeah.
Which is what I've said in the past.
No, agreed.
But also, when saying that too, Nick, the one thing that pops into my head was, you know what that could be too? Although you're right, it spun the right way. But at the time, why did he do that? Well, you could say he was mad at the system. Or, in a key part of a big game, the excuse he got from a player was, I heard the bang and I was waiting on a breaking ball and I got off balance and it didn't work out. And he could have been really pissed off about the fact that instead of just going up and doing what you've done your whole life that you're paid to do and see ball, hit ball, you were relying on – you don't know why he did it. But the thing that really is bothersome to me, going back to my point about the fact that you didn't want to ruffle the feathers of the locker room and that's part of the reason why you didn't stop it, is when the Brandon Taubman stuff came out, the only guy that handled it with class but addressed it head on and went right to the media and answered the questions and faced the music was A.J. Hinch. It was wrong. It was dumb on our part. We shouldn't have done that. And we need to handle things when no one else was saying anything. And I gave him so much credit for that. But if he was able to do that, I don't understand why he couldn't have done what he was supposed to do with this.
It's a really good point. But I think that, and you bringing it up speaks to what we suspected and have said about him. He was an upfront, stand-up guy. And I think that the reason he didn't is because if my theory on it is that, I mean, they're cheating anyways. They're doing other things. This isn't the only way that his team is cheating, and it wasn't the only way that other teams were cheating. There's a ton of cheating that goes on, which is what the narrative has been, especially from people in this city, but it's a fact. And that's why I think he just looked at it as, all right, it's annoying, and they're having fun with it, and it's probably more of the game within the game challenge of trying to figure it out and relay it as opposed to thinking this is going to win us a World Series. Let's face it, baseball's boring when you play it a lot of times. And it was something to do, and he probably just, no harm, no foul. It's five other, it'd be like having a cork bat. Are you going to go to somebody with a cork bat and say, you take those bats and you get them out of here, you go, you're a dumbass because if it breaks, you're going to get busted. Do you hold the manager accountable for that?
I don't know. It's a good question. I will say, I mean, I feel like it was really going to be hard for someone like A.J. Hinch to mess up that interview, because I feel like he would have had to make so many excuses and deflect for him not to get a job as a manager somewhere else. Someone like A.J. Hinch, he gets it. He knows how to answer. Training or not, that guy knew what he was doing, and he got away with it. And I don't know how much responsibility, like you said, I don't think he thought it was going to come out, it was going to be this big a deal come the off season, and that's probably why he overlooked. You know, he just kind of showed a blind eye.
I would be willing to bet you he didn't even think it would cost him his job, much less a suspension.
Oh, for sure, because I don't think he ever thought it was going to get up and be a big deal.
Right, because again, it goes back to, and it sounds like we're harping on it, but it goes back to, you look around baseball, and maybe if it's not every team doing video, every team's
Everybody's doing something.
Every player almost is doing something.
Absolutely.
So it's like, oh well, it's just another thing. We'll move on and play baseball.
So if you're interested, 5 o'clock tonight. MLB Network will have the full interview. A.J. Hinch, Tom Verducci, and I'm sure you'll see it all over social media after that. So, final half hour of the show comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
The This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday in the big city. Speaking of the big city, host to another big event this weekend as Houston and the Toyota Center hosting UFC 247 all week with the majority of it on the Blitz. We've had big interviews. And
there has been a lot of interviews.
From the fighters to Dana White to a lot of people, male and female, involved on the card. So it is a big evening tomorrow night, Saturday night at Toyota Center. And you guys will all be there. So I thought it apropos that you guys break down some of the big bouts and matches and get your thoughts.
Yeah, I honestly think... So, first of all, a lot of Houston ties on this card.
With
Juan Adams and Derek Lewis, obviously being Houston-based fighters. Juan now training with Greg Jackson and Jackson Winklejohn in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Went out there for his fight camp. But... Houston dude, friend of the show, friend of the Blitz, Derek Lewis, same thing. So those two have Houston ties. Shevchenko also has a Houston tie. She fought for Legacy briefly, and I mentioned how old buddy of mine had her. They had her, brought her in here, and she trained and prepared in order to take the next step to fight for the UFC. So three of the five on the main card have Houston ties. I think we should discuss those and then maybe the main event or at least give predictions. And then also I'll tell folks, if you want a rooting interest for maybe the early prelims on Fight Pass or the prelim card on ESPN, I can give you folks that have Houston ties that maybe helps you find something to root for. Because a lot of the times you don't know who the hell those folks are that are fighting on those undercards. So real quick, if you want on the early prelims, Domingo Pilarte, we had Crew Bob in earlier in the week, but Domingo's an old school Houston veteran fighter, master of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, pretty good striking too, but he's a guy to keep an eye on who is a Houston native, or from a fighting perspective anyway. So check out Domingo Pilarte, root for him. And then on the prelim card, you've got Alex Morano, who when I first started the cage door, I met Alex, and he was just started, you know, coming up in the ranks as well. So I got to watch his career. Super excited for him to be on the card. Really good fighter, too. Humble dude, nice guy, easy to root for. So root for Alex Morano.
It's going to be a good Saturday night for you because of all your ties, man.
Bro, I'm going to – so many people. Alex has the gym. He owns the Gracie Baja, the Woodlands, which is right there off of Rayford.
Yeah, I heard you and AJ talking about
it. Yeah, and then Trevor Giles is a guy that I got to see a lot fight here in Houston. I don't believe he's from Houston. I think he's Dallas or something, but he had a lot of fights in Houston. He was kind of part of the scene. So Trevin Giles, a guy to root for. Obviously, we talked about Lauren Murphy being a Houston fighter. Crew Bob trains her as well. So three more names you can look for on the prelims card before we get to the main card, or before you get to the main card.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? The first fight on the card, I was kind of surprised this was the first fight on the card. I thought you would have flip-flopped the Juan Adams fight and the Derek Lewis fight. Nonetheless, the first fight on the card, it looks like it's going to be Derek Lewis and Latifi. How do you see it?
Man, I think this is a fight that plays well for Derek Lewis. Latifi called out Derek Lewis, as Crew Bob said on our show, and I think that's a dangerous move. I know Derek Lewis may not be considered a technical fighter, but I've said this 1,000 times. His power, his pure strength, supplements for what he lacks in technique sometimes. I don't necessarily see Latifi beating him through technique. I think Derek Lewis is going to overpower him. I think he's going to be able to weather any type of storm that Latifi throws at him. I'm definitely picking Derek Lewis, and I don't think it goes the distance. I'm going to say second round knockout.
It's funny because I saw something mentioning the fact that, oh, look, Daniel Cormier is not the smallest heavyweight now. Now that Latifi is fighting at heavyweight.
Right.
And immediately your thought is, well, when you look at the size difference, when you looked at weigh-ins, I think Latifi weighed in at 245.
Yeah, he's small for sure.
And I think he'll weigh less than that come fight time, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
I think he had to, much like what fighters cut weight, I think he probably had to bulk up. Like he had to eat a big bowl of spaghetti before he stepped on the scale. So I would be surprised because he's a 205er that should be fighting at 185, like you heard Bob say the other day. So surprised me. He weighed in at 246 and a half. And Derek Lewis also surprised me weighing in at 261.5. Usually Derek's just inside of that heavyweight number, which is 266 if you use the pound overage allowance. 261 means he's in shape. And now that might mean he's got better cardio, which could be real trouble for Latifi if Derek is in that good a shape and he's got good cardio.
That's a good point.
Not known for his cardio. But if he's got good cardio, watch out heavyweight division, because that's been a knock on Derek.
I think Derek Lewis has already surprised some folks and has already proven himself. I think he can still do that in this fight.
Yeah, and I mean, your first thought is, well, Latifi's so small, but so was Daniel Cormier. Of course, Latifi's not a world-class wrestler right. like Daniel Cormier is, but I'll just save you the drama. Every one of my picks is by knockout on the main card.
Okay.
So Derek Lewis by knockout. I don't know. Pick a round. I'm not sure. First, second, third, doesn't matter to me.
Okay, cool. I picked the second, but that's good.
Second fight that we care about, Juan Adams and Justin Taffa. Again, I'm kind of surprised that this is right before the co-main and the main event, just because neither of these guys have a ton of experience. And then with Juan coming off of the loss to Greg Hardy previously, you thought, okay, it might make it because it's a Houston card. Surprised that it would get higher billing than a couple other.
I'm surprised too. They always have some weird justification that they usually don't share all the time.
True.
So I don't know why they would do that.
It can't be ticket sales, right? I mean, people are going to show up regardless of where he would be on the card.
I mean,
in terms of pay-per-view sales would be different, so I don't know.
Yeah, and in terms of a draw, or maybe it's a situation where because Derek Lewis is a bigger draw in Houston, they want and they know people are going to rush to see Derek Lewis.
Oh, it
gets him in the arena earlier. I don't know. That's just a weird theory.
That's super smart. I didn't even think about that.
That's a weird theory, but I don't know.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
That's my only guess. I didn't
know. Is get him there as soon as possible
because people are going to want to see Derek Lewis.
We can't miss Derek fight, right? Yeah. Oh, I think you nailed it.
And that's not a knock on Juan Adams because we absolutely love him.
No, but I think, I mean, let's be real. Derek is, of this whole card, outside of John Jones, Derek's the most popular fighter on this card.
Sure.
So, and he's in his hometown swinging and banging and his balls was hot. People are going to come out for Derek Lewis. I think you're exactly right. That's why he's the first fight on the card. Makes a ton of sense. All right, so in the Juan Adams versus Justin Taffa fight, who you got?
Man, Juan Adams, dude, I was so upset when he lost to Greg Hardy and the way it went down. I think Juan Adams is equally, if not a whole lot more upset than I am that fight went down the way it did. He doesn't want to lose another fight. I think his back is against the wall, and I think he has more UFC experience than his opponent, if I'm not mistaken. I think Juan Adams wins this fight. This is one of two fights that I think will go to distance. I didn't pick everybody to knock out, but I think this would be the first fight that I think could potentially go to distance. Juan Adams by decision.
Yeah, he does. This Taffa only has the one fight, and he lost. And as I recall, he got knocked out, and it wasn't pretty, if I'm remembering correctly. So, yeah, he definitely does it. He lacks the experience that Juan does in the UFC. Juan has – this will be his third fight, fourth fight. But also Juan just has more experience overall. He had three or four fights in Legacy as well. So, I'm with you. I think Juan Adams by knockout. Again, I don't know round. It's difficult for me to predict. But I'll say Juan by KO.
Cool deal.
Seeing how Taffa got starched. All right, Shevchenko versus Caitlin Chookagian.
Caitlin is actually she's an massive underdog in this fight.
What is the
I think
number?
She's like plus 750 is what I saw. Woo-hoo-hoo. It's ridiculous. But she's been in the UFC for a while. She's won four of her last five fights. She's won six of her last eight fights in the UFC, and that's the total number of fights that she's had in the UFC. Eight. But she's still going up against Valentina, and I just don't think she has what it takes. I think it's just next level with Valentina.
She's bad.
So I think this is going to be the second fight that I pick that will not go to distance. That will go to distance. I don't think it'll be a knockout. I see it winning. I see a win for Valentina by submission in the third round.
Yeah, I'm going to say Shevchenko by knockout. She's bad. Like, she is well-rounded. She is tough on... I think I saw somewhere where she's like considered like I think one or two as far as pound for pound best female fighters in the UFC. You're gonna have to be really, really good to even challenge Shevchenko right now. And I just don't think.
Her only two losses against Amanda. She lost to Amanda Nunes twice,
which is who a lot of people will tell you pound for pound is the best female fighter in the UFC.
Right.
So
she's definitely up there.
Yeah. So I got Shevchenko by knockout again. No idea. All right, main event: John Jones versus Dominic Reyes. How do you see it?
Man, I'm going to call this guy the GOAT until he shows me otherwise. I've said this from day one. I think he is the greatest MMA fighter alive. I think if he wasn't making dumb decisions, he would have a whole lot more wins in that win column. I think the one loss that he has against Matt Hamill is an absolute
just a
weak
farce.
Move by the whichever commission handled that or regulated that fight. I see John Jones winning, but not necessarily by knockout. I would not be surprised if he wins by submission. As a matter of fact, that's going to be my pick. I think he's going to win by submission. I think he's going to strategize. He's going to pick his shots. He's going to really hurt this guy, break him down. I think he's eventually going to catch the submission.
Reyes has legit power. And if he can get a hold of John Jones, if he can touch that button, that chin, if he can connect, he has the ability to knock out John Jones. The problem is even though they're the same height, and we talked about this in the Cowboy fight with Conor McGregor, the differences in reach and so forth, John Jones has a 6-inch reach advantage over Reyes. And you give John Jones an advantage like that, and it allows him to keep his distance and then close when he wants to, use those elbows and knees and whatever else. It's almost not fair. It's almost not even fair if everything was equal to me. But you can't count Reyes out because of the knockout power, and there's the talk of, oh, he's a better athlete than John Jones. Well, I don't know about that. If you're out there saying that, slow down. John Jones is a hell of an athlete. But I just think I'm with you. I mean, John Jones is at the top of his game again, and until he does make a mistake and looks bad, I'm going John Jones with a knockout.
Looking forward to it, man. Yeah. I know you've got so many connections. You're going to have a blast on Saturday.
It's going to be like
night.
A reunion for me, honestly. I have not been to an MMA fight in Houston in probably at least 5 years, 6 years. And I'm talking Legacy, Fury fighting with Eric Garcia, none of that. Right. So I'm super pumped
about
this.
Send me some of the free popcorn. From the
I ain't
going
to eat all that popcorn. I'm going to the media.
Section 107.
I'm going to the media dinner.
Bring me some food.
You want me to bring you some? Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
So all the fat jokes now, we're not making those because you need free food?
Well, you know you're going to eat too.
All right, Louis the Lightning Bolt.
You guys done now?
Yeah.
The fights are tomorrow night. Okay? Save that for them. One segment to go on the show. We'll put a bow on it next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Friday. Thanks for spending an entire week with us again.
We love you guys so much. Well, most of you. Some of you.
Yesterday, 3-year anniversary, as Barry pointed out.
Boom!
Couldn't have done that for this long without you guys.
No way.
And the fact that we've developed so many solid relationships from so many of you that play a big part in what we do appreciate you.
And, you know, we didn't talk a lot about it yesterday, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I'm proud of what we've done as a show
for sure.
Consider some of the difficulties we had when we started and the fact that we were able to win our time slot several times. And
AJ.
Last year, we finally hit number one in the city in sports talk on our own.
AJ.
Huh?
These are just all messages for AJ.
Oh.
Yeah. Trouble early on.
I thought you were blaming him all that stuff. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah.
Ratings great. FYI, AJ.
Yeah, I proud of what we've done, and obviously it doesn't happen without the suspects. So
yeah,
and people with meters paying attention to us. So we appreciate all of it for sure.
Pink Valkyrie lets us down. No pizza today. No Kobo's Q. Nothing that she was supposed to do. So
hey, Kobo's Q has hooked me up quite a bit. So
yeah, they're great.
I ain't mad at Kobo's Q.
Great, great, great. And I was watching last night.
They just followed me on Twitter like 2 weeks ago. So I don't know.
There's two different versions. And, of course, Dr. Dre on 290 is going to nitpick and go, those tortillas better be fresh.
Oh, gosh.
They did quesadillas, mm-hmm. and they did regular beef quesadillas, and then they did, like, I don't know if it was filet or what, but man, did they look good.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's legit. Cobos Q Barbecue, legit.
Matter of fact, I told Robert Parker, RP3, the other day that he needed to go see Cobos Q, and he went out there and said they don't open until 7 o'clock. He was bummed out.
Wait.
So he went to Olive Garden. I was like, well, what? That's quite the contrast. If you're going to go to the top-notch Cobos Q, and then because they weren't open, you're going to go to Olive Garden?
You did yourself dirty there.
But the salad's about the only thing. I'm not. Are you a fan
of
Olive Garden?
Breadsticks.
I was going to say.
I work there as a busboy.
Put some respect on Olive Garden.
The salad is amazing, but the actual Italian food dishes that you can order,
I was a busboy after I worked at Wendy's. I went to Olive Garden.
That's when you get fired for playing hockey with the frozen patties.
No, they didn't fire me for that. They didn't even know I did that. And Wendy's doesn't freeze their patties, sir. That was Whataburger where we did that. Allegedly.
Whataburger freezes their patties. Now you're all kinds of
blasphemous. Allegedly.
No. Anyways, we used to just sit in the back at the Olive Garden and just eat breadsticks. And then we come out and be like, oh, sorry, they're making some. There was none. Everybody ate them. Bro, it would be.
That's why you were four bills.
It's the staff. I was never four bills.
You showed me the picture.
$3.99.
No, I was never. What am I, AJ? I was never four bills, and it wasn't. It certainly wasn't when I was in high school at the Olive Garden.
The chicken and was it chicken and gnocchi? Love that too.
I have no idea what that is.
Olive Garden.
Oh, the two choices you have for soup. I don't like that.
I don't
that
think
soup.
It's just once.
That one, chicken soup. You can
the
get
chicken and gnocchi.
You can get you can get that, or there, you can get minestrone.
No. There's more Garden? Than that. There's more than two options.
Yeah, there's a lot more than two soups.
Yeah, there is. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't even eat out that much.
Let me tell you something. With Taylor, that's where we go. For some reason, she will behave herself. Really? We can take the family there. It's because of this. We're all about the salad and all the other stuff too. That we can get in and out quickly. There's one right by our house. Oh no,
what are we wagering that there's more than two soups?
I already know he's losing this bet. I'll put $50.
Here's the thing. I'm not betting because obviously he's only saying that because he's already got it in his back pocket. So, well, no, I'm not saying it.
I just know. Damn it. That can't pull the menu up. You should have bet. It's not popping up. Oh, well.
Too much tequila.
Well, no, because they have minestrone. They have tomato basil. They have whatever chicken one he's talking about.
We don't have the tomato basil because I would get it. We have two options. We have the chicken gnocchi and we have
minestrone. There's four.
What kind of whack? I get the one with sausage in it. I know, big surprise.
The Zuppa Toscana?
Yes, the Toscana. Pasta. Oh, that's so good.
Pasta, what? Dude, I don't even want to pronounce
it. No, do it. This will be great.
It starts with F-A-G. You go ahead.
No, pasta fagioli. You can't say fagioli? What were you going to say? Oh, my God. You were really going to...
Yeah, probably for FCC reasons. We're better off.
You're gonna rhyme it with tag.
See, I was trying to keep our job.
You're gonna rhyme it with tag,
possibly.
You mean your job? You're the one that would have come out here. Yeah. Barry and I would have been like, "No, fine,
Mr. Dump-a-thon." Yeah. No, the pasta fagioli you've got. Yeah, see, there's more than two.
There's four.
Not at ours.
I'm telling you, at yours. What's your location?
The Sugarland one,
59 and Sweetwater Boulevard.
I'm pulling it up. Let's see. Order online. If I can order more than two soups online, you have to get me a $50 gift certificate to Olive Garden.
No, me. What are you talking about?
False.
It's between us two.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Go ahead. So what's the verdict?
I'm trying to pull up the soups right now.
Dang.
Soup choices. Chicken and what is it? No, gnocchi?
That could be wrong, too.
I don't even know. Bro, there's literally four choices to order from the Sugarland Olive Garden online.
Well, they're giving me a faulty menu then.
Minestrone soup, pasta fagioli, or the one that, you know, plays for the other team.
Look, he's there by force. That's the one place Taylor the Toscana behaves.
There's four online. Just order your soups online then. See, you're lying.
It
is. Okay, next time you go, I want a picture of the menu. That only has two soups.
Cares?
Promise you, we'll never get this picture because he's just ignored.
It'll be accompanied by a picture of my middle finger.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
If you're right, I would totally expect that.
By the way, did you know there's a menu item at the Star Cinema Grill called The Usual Suspects?
Yeah, you sent me a picture of it one time.
Thank you. Nice. Yeah.
Did you tell him that it was named after you and you tried to get some free?
I didn't. I didn't do that.
Because Barry Warner would have. He would have claimed to be a usual suspect just for that.
You know, I once showed him my hairy navel. Does that qualify me?
Barry, they don't know the last name. I could tell them it was Barry Warner, Joel, if it got me the suspect sandwich. And with that, I'd like fries. An extra fry. All right, people, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. While you're at it, out and about, keep it tuned here to ESPN 97.5. Fred, AJ, Aaron, The Blitz, they're coming up next. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again on Monday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here, ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.